opportunity again to come into this place and to turn our focus to you. And thanks for a really amazing opportunity here at the end of the year to reflect back on your good works. As we've seen you work in us, as we've seen you work around us, even as we've seen you have ministry working through us, we want this God Story Sunday to be one where you sit up on your throne in heaven and bask in your glorious work that's being seen in our lives. So please accept this time as an offering of praise as we look to you in these God stories. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's invite up our first guest for the day, Mr. Caleb Wyatt. Come on up, Caleb. Come on over, Caleb. You got three seats to choose from. I know bro code says you got to sit over there, and we got to keep a couple seats in between us, like the movies. Sure. Come on, okay. Sit over here. Is this okay?
This is good.
Okay. I know if we went to the movies, there'd be a seat in between us,
protocol,
though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Not here. Church. Family, right?
Church.
Cool. So those of you that don't know Caleb, Caleb Wyatt, I grew up here at Bridgeway and served in our student ministries as a volunteer and then as an intern with me as we got a chance to minister to our students together and birthed something in your heart and in your life during those years. And now you're with us, but you're not with us, right?
Yes.
You're not with us.
I am with you guys,
yeah?
But I am in Oklahoma City. That's okay. Where I go to school.
So how about you tell people about where you are in school and what you're up to these days?
Yeah, so right now I am going to school at Mid-America Christian University in Oklahoma City. I've been going there for 2 years now after I finished at Howard County Community College. And in my second year, I love it, but it's college. It's for sure a challenge, and I've been able to work through some of those challenges. But right now I'm in my senior year, and I'm facing life, you know? So
yeah. So Bible college, I mean, that must be a place where you're like so connected to Jesus just because of your being there, right?
Yeah. I think any college student can attest to this, that whenever you go away to college, no matter if it's Bible college, university, whatever it is, it's like a test of faith, of character, of everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure if we have any students out there that are in high school or college, even some middle schoolers out there, that you're kind of in that zone of balancing life and school and all your relationships and all the expectations on you. It gets heavy, right?
It does. It does.
Yeah. So as you kind of look back on this year and what God's been doing in and around you, do you see a theme that God's been kind of drawing out in your life?
For sure. I think the biggest theme that God has brought about in this season is value. The things that God values and the things that I value, he's kind of brought to the forefront, and he's kind of challenged me on whether or not my values align with his.
Hmm. Is there a moment, kind of as you think of your story, can you tell us about a moment this past year where God really highlighted that in your life?
Yeah, so this semester, I've kind of been thrusted into adulthood. I'm a full-time student. I work full-time. I serve basically full-time. And it's been very heavy trying to balance all of these different things. And the thing that I always seem to put on the back burner is school.
School?
School.
No way.
Yes.
Really? Out of all those different things, writing papers, reading books, it doesn't, like, energize you?
It's never been my thing, Dave. Hmm. It's never,
never.
Like, okay. Like you would think a college student would be like, yeah, like I'm killing it and I'm it's school, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's never been me. Even in elementary school, I was struggling to pick up my crayons, but mm-hmm. I'm here now.
Mm-hmm. So you're in this mode right now where it's really hard to balance all these things.
Yeah, so balance was hard for me, and school was on the back burner, and I got to a point where in one of my classes, I just began to fall behind. This class is called Person and Work of the Holy Spirit.
The Person and Work of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That sounds like a pretty important class.
It's a rich class.
Out of all your classes, you probably elevated that to like your most important thing. I mean, you don't want to You don't want to push the Holy Spirit to the side, right?
Exactly. Gary? I feel like he would have been disappointed if I didn't.
He would have been disappointed.
But that was the class that I kind of pushed to the side. And I'm an experienced person. Like, if we're going to talk about the person and work of the Holy Spirit, I want to go out and see the Acts Church. I want to see fire from heaven, and I want to see the Holy Spirit at work. But this was a very textbook-based class.
Understood. Well, what did that look like for you as you were kind of pushing that off to the side?
Yeah, so in this class, we were given two big textbooks. Well, I bought two big textbooks. Don't want to confuse anybody about college. You buy your textbooks. And basically, by the end of the semester, you are required to read these two textbooks. And every class, you're given a reading report, and it's up to you to write the percentage that you read of the book. And so they trust the students to write down the percentage that they read. And obviously, every class I read 100%, right? Obviously. And so I get halfway through the semester, and I'm doing work, I'm doing school, I'm serving at this awesome ministry, and I'm like, I'm doing it. But then the Holy Spirit begins to convict me on my work in the class. So all throughout this class, I'm supposed to be reading this book, and I started, but I began to lie on my reading report. And the teacher wasn't checking to make sure we were actually reading. He was just trusting that we would put down the percentage that we read. And every class, I wrote down 100%, but the reality was I wasn't reading 100% of that book.
Mm-hmm. And we all have moments like that, right, where our integrity is challenged in our families, at work, in relationships, where we could care about the outward appearance, right? As long as it looks good on paper, as long as the neighbors think we have it all together, as long as our facade stays good, then we're good.
Yeah.
But what did that look like for you?
And so when I began to feel this this conviction of the Holy Spirit, I was like, you know, it's okay, because I'm doing it for ministry, and I'm doing it so that I can graduate with my degree and get out and change lives. Like, that's my main goal, so it's okay. And the more and more I told myself it was okay, I became restless, and I just wasn't able to go to class and feel okay with myself, but still somehow I showed up and I wrote 100%, and I wrote 100%, 100%, class after class, and I felt like I was selling out on the very reason that I had come to do Bible college.
So where did that lead you? Did you continue to do that the whole semester?
Well, God is a good God, and he's a good God, but he asks us to do crazy things sometimes. And he put it on my heart to go to my teacher and confess what I'd been doing. And I was like, God, I'm hearing you, but I don't know if I want to follow through with what you're asking me to do. And I feel like we all have those moments where, like, yeah, that's God.
Now, they don't know anything about that, where God asks you to do something and you don't want to do it.
And so I came to a point where I was like, all right, Caleb, are you gonna continue in your ways, or are you gonna submit to God? And I came to a point where I was like, you know what? I don't care. I don't care what happens, but I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go to my professor and tell him what I've been doing. And so it took a lot of prayer. It took a lot of prayer for me to be able to get to the point where I was like, all right, I'm going to go do this. But I get to his office, and I said to him, hey, like, I've been struggling in class. I've been trying to balance life, and I've been doing a really bad job. And he was like, yeah, whatever I can do to help, Caleb. And I was like, no, there's more. These reading reports, every so often I've been lying on my reading reports, and I'm not reading 100%. And he says, I know that your papers reflect that. I was like, okay, so what are you gonna do to me? Like, expel me, kick me out?
We did some disciplinary things that you were really putting yourself up for.
Exactly.
And what was the response?
And he said, I think you've learned exactly what this class is all about. Are you hearing the Holy Spirit? I said, yes. And he said, that's exactly what I believe this class is about. Now, you can either hear the Holy Spirit and obey, or you can hear the Holy Spirit and continue in your ways. And I think that's what so many of us are faced with in life. Are we going to hear God and respond, or are we going to hear God and run the opposite direction?
That's really powerful. Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah. So what are you taking away from this experience? Like, as you keep moving forward in life, what are you going to hold on to from all that?
Well, I look at this experience and think, what do I value most? I came to Bible college so that I could get a better grasp on who God is, what His word is here for, and what His plan is for us, His people. And I've leaned into that, but even bigger, the journey, the going through it, the going to college, it's not about graduating with a piece of paper. It's about the character that God is trying to bring about in me so that I can continue in encouraging His people, continue in doing the things that He's called me to do. Because 2 years ago, I was sitting with you telling you about the call that God had on my life, and you were supportive, you know? But bigger than that, am I going to submit to the character development? Am I going to submit to the work that God has to do in me for those things to unfold?
Yeah. You're working not just for a degree.
Exactly.
For the image of man, pleasing the men, women around you, that they would approve of you.
Exactly.
But God's approval has taken a different level.
Exactly. If I never graduate, if I never walk a stage, if I never receive a piece of paper, all I want is for God to point to me and say, this is my child, and I've developed in him a character that says that he's a man of God who can be used. And that, at the end of the day, is what I want more than anything else.
So. Well, thank you so much. Any final word for a Bridgeway family here before you head out?
Yeah, for sure. I think in life we're faced with different challenges, different trials, and God's trying to develop something in us so that the people of this world can look at His people and say, okay, God is working and He's moving and He's bringing about something bigger than us, bigger than ourselves. And the value in that is so much more significant than we could ever imagine. And I want to encourage you guys to press into that. Press into what God is bringing about in you for His glory, for the sake of the kingdom.
Well, thanks for being an example of what it means to pursue God's approval and not man's approval. And we believe in God's calling on your life and the ministry that He will do through you for years to come. So thanks so much for that. And thank you to God for the work that He's done in our brother Caleb.
Thank you, guys.
Great. Thank you. So what do you think? Do you have a story to share? Has God put something on your heart that you want to get a chance just to let other people know of God's working in your life or in your struggle, in your pain, or in your triumph? We're going to have Pastor Dan and our CFO, Tim Samuel, kind of walk in the aisles with the microphone. But we're going to take maybe about 10 minutes right now and let a handful of people share. So if you want to share, you can either raise your hand or kind of stand up and move to the aisle, and we'll get a chance for a couple people to share a two-minute testimony. Tim, how about you start off right here? Great. And just so you know, yeah, you can stand up and stand next to Tim right here, and they're going to hold the microphone for you, right? Yeah, we'll just leave it there.
Can you...
Oh, yeah.
And you can introduce yourself and then share a quick story.
I'm Diana Livy. And over the past, I guess, 2 years, we've had a lot of difficulties in our family. About 2 1/4 years ago, our son fell 36 feet off a building, lived to tell the tale, couldn't walk, though, for a couple months, and went through all this rehab and was able to learn to walk again, and after, you know, surgery at Kennedy, at shock trauma, and it was just a very grueling process. Now he deals with a lot of nerve pain, so things are still ongoing. And then last April, if you don't mind my sharing, my husband spontaneously had a heart attack and had to have open heart surgery, and nobody expected it. And then over the summer, the same younger son had a really bad reaction to a medication and had to be hospitalized for weeks. And it was just like one thing after another. And I got to the point where I remember I was taking a walk. My son was in the hospital over the summer, and I just lost it. I was like, God, I can't handle this anymore. I can't take it anymore. I can't deal with this. So I'm walking, and near our house is a nursing home. It's a Catholic nursing home, and they have a little loop, and in the loop there are rocks, and on each rock is one part of the Stations of the Cross, you know, of Jesus' crucifixion. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking, and I feel like this little pebble in my shoe. So I thought, all right, I got to take the pebble out of my shoes. So I sit down on a bench. I've never sat down in this loop before. I do this walk all the time in my neighborhood. Sat down on the bench, took the pebble out of my shoe, feeling absolutely overwhelmed, put my shoe back on. I look up, and the Station of the Cross that's in front of me is this like bronze plaque on this rock, and it says, Jesus accepts his cross. And I was like, oh, okay. Mm. All right, Lord, I get it. And at that moment, I just had this like moment of surrender to, you know, whatever the Lord, you know, whatever was happening in my life, I was going to be able to get through it. The Lord was going to be with me. And when I stood up and continued walking, I felt completely different. And it was because the Lord spoke to me in that moment. And I also have to say, this church body has been amazing. Through the last 2 years of our struggles, people have prayed, people have brought us meals, people were just like overextending themselves for us, and just having this community of love and support where people are living their faith. That held us up too. So anyway, I just want to give the Lord praise and glory for his body and just that he speaks to us,
praise
in
God.
Our hour of need.
Well, thank you so much. Praise God for that. The right message at the right time. Jesus accepted his cross. Great. Anybody on your side, Pastor Dan? Anybody? I see a hand right over here. We'll do this, and then we'll come to you in the back. Did I see a hand right here? You can step on out, and you can introduce yourself, and then we'd love to hear your God story.
Yeah. My name is Anne Rapaka, and I was diagnosed with lung cancer. And on 25th of July, I had my surgery. Lung surgery. From September to November, I went through chemotherapy and Bridgeway prayed for me a lot, all the team. And on behalf of Bridgeway, some of the people used to come to my house and prayed for me a lot. Bridgeway Cancer Ministry, they came, they used to send me the nice comforting Bible verses. And when I went for my checkup on 27th, just 2 days back, my oncologist said, I don't have any evidence of cancer right now. God protected. Just on Friday, just on last Friday, doctor told me that I'd have any evidence, and God protected me in all ways. And I used to remind myself 23rd Psalm and Psalm 91. And God protected me on all ways. And thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that story. My goodness. Praise God for his healing hand. My goodness. Thank you so much. All right. I think we have somebody in the back here. Great. Can any chance you could wind around? All right, ma'am, if you could introduce yourself and then share your God story.
Good morning, Bridge. Oh, I really don't need this. I'm kind of loud.
Oh, no, we'll use it. That way the people online can hear you as well. There you go.
Good morning, Bridgeway family. I am elated and over the top of the moon to thank the Lord for you all creating a place of belonging for me and my family. Hmm. This is my family's 1-year anniversary. I promise I'm not going to embarrass you, but just tell everybody that you're my family. Wave. Mm-hmm. Amen. Uh-huh. So we've been looking for a church home, my husband and I, and we happened upon Bridgeway last year, December. And the beautiful thing about it was we immediately felt welcomed. So that was a challenge because the churches we had been visiting, I was not comfortable with bringing my mom to because churches have changed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my husband and I grew up in the church. We were family, church family. Our families were prominent in the church. Church had a steeple on it, stained glass windows. There was a cross. Churches have changed completely. So we didn't feel comfortable with bringing her to a place where she would feel welcomed from how she knew church because she just moved here 2 years ago. So when we came to Bridgeway and her first time coming here, the elders in that room over on the side where they do the counseling, they just welcomed her so warmly and received her. And it was just such a beautiful experience. And we were very, very thankful for that. And then our young adult children started attending. They're away, but when they come, they enjoy coming to Bridgeway. So it really gave us a place of belonging. And now my sister attends Bridgeway with her family. So we are just all together praising God that we can come and worship together with one another and truly create a sense of family through Bridgeway. Thank you for the elders' prayer on Wednesday nights, which is just the place where I go to just unleash. And it is just a glorious experience. Praise God for all the ministries that we've been exposed to. And we just want to say thank you. We're looking forward to serving in the new year.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's great. Thanks for making your family a part of our family. You are welcome here. All right. We've got somebody right back there. They're going to keep you working, Tim. Right back here.
Good morning, Bridgeway. My name is Belinda Edwards. I'm just thankful to be here. This year has been very challenging because I have entered... I have entered the phase of life that is caregiving. I am an only child. And both of my parents are having health issues. And I thank God for Bridgeway because the amount of people who have come and offered a prayer, who've offered support, who have offered guidance, because we all have to go through this stage of life. I just am very grateful. I pray that you will continue to keep my parents and myself in your prayers because I'm trying to honor my parents. Sorry.
No, take your time.
I'm trying to honor my parents while getting them the best health care and support that they need. And I pray that they will come to realize that I'm not trying to take away their independence. And I also pray that they will realize that I love them and I'm doing the best I can. And I thank God because I've had friends who have lost their parents this year. I thank God because on both sides of my family, I'm the only one who has both of my parents. And I am extremely grateful that they're still here. It's been on my heart just to say that those who are in the midst of needing help from their family, please know that your family loves you and is there to support you and is not trying to take away anything. But I also know it's hard because I'm an independent person. That's how my parents raised me. And I know one day, if God willing, I will be that age and I will need help too. So I thank Bridgeway for your love and support and your prayers. And please keep my parents and I in your prayers, and I pray the strength for everybody.
Well, thank you so much. No, thank you for sharing your story. Sometimes a testimony is how God brought you through something. Some testimonies are how God is bringing you through something. So we honor God's work in your life today as he journeys with you through some really hard times. We look for an update on that as you get a chance to tell more and more stories of God's presence in those lonely times. Thank you for sharing. Now we're going to get another chance to share openly in a couple of minutes, but as you're thinking about if you would be one to stand up and share, you can think about that as our next guests come up to share their story. Again, if there's somebody who has a story about coming to faith this year, if you're a new believer, I would love for you to share your story today. Or if you're somebody who's been wrestling through some mental health issues and you're willing to share God's work in your life through that, I would love for you to share as well. Kind of as we move forward, I would love to invite up the Avery family, Anne, Reg, and Grace. How about we give them a round of applause? Come on up. We'd love for you to come and get close. Thanks for coming out, the whole family. Thanks, Anne, Grace, and Reg. So those of you that know the Avery family, they've been around Bridgeway since 2006. Very quickly moved from attending to serving here at Bridgeway, and very quickly moving to leading here at Bridgeway, as you've led at the cafe, led in our international ministries, led here with security. It's not uncommon to be in this building and bump into an Avery. They're here helping to support what God's doing in and through this church. So thanks so much for that. As an intern, Grace, you served through the Creative Arts Ministry. This is a family that is rooted here at Bridgeway. Then we have the past 2 years, and we haven't seen as much of some of the Averys as we used to. And I was wondering if you could share your story about what's been happening with you and your family this past season.
Late 2017, I had unexpected season in my life. Through an annual mammogram, I found out that I have cancer, stage 2 invasive and aggressive cancer, which required a surgery right away to remove the tumor. So within a month, I had lumpectomy 2 times. And then they told me that because the margin wasn't clean, that I need to do another lumpectomy or even a mastectomy. And this was just happening so quickly, and I really was a shock and didn't know what to do, but on my knees and just praying to God for help me and help me make a right decision. And then 5 months of the chemo started, and that time was such a torture. Unlike most people, I had so many side effects from treatment and the medications I was on. And I had 3 times of blood transfusion, and each time 2 units of blood. I was in and out of hospital. Frequently, of course, emergency rooms. And I was so weak, and every bone in my body was hurting. And finally, I came through the chemo, 5 months. And then I was required to have 27 times of radiation treatment. And about 10 days before the radiation, I ended up having shingles on one side, my chest, my side, and in my back. So I was going through bleeding one side from radiation burn and the other side with nerve pain. Mm. And the pain that I had was just indescribable.
Wow. And I think we could show just the first picture up there, a picture of you during this time, just to give an example of what it was like for you to be in the hospital, just not not knowing any of your future. And it seems like every time you sat with a doctor, they didn't give you good news. It was just bad news after bad news after bad news. Is there a time that you remember where you really felt the powerful hand of God in your life?
Yes, there were moments that I didn't know whether I would make it through this journey. And, you know, the enemy is telling you, just whispering in your ears, that this is a good time to go home and to give up. I've gone through so much through my life, and God gave me through this. And I have a lovely family, wonderful husband, and 18-year-old daughter. I wasn't about to quit. Okay? I had to give all myself to the Lord and His power and His strength. And so I was on my knees every day, just let Him lead me. And so I proclaim that God is bigger than cancer.
Amen.
And He wasn't just healing me from cancer. He was working in my life every day. So Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And that was the strength that I depended on.
Wow. Thank you so much. And so after the chemotherapy, the surgeries, the radiation, all the treatments.
I forgot the one thing about what my surgeon told me. I ended up having double mastectomy. Mm. And a week after that, surgeon told her family, "She's gone. Her cancer is all gone." Just like my sister there. But he said, "What good is it? What good is it if she dies? Because I lost so much weight. I was only weighed 87, 88 pounds. He knew that I couldn't go through another treatment. So he told me that I need to gain at least about 10 pounds. Then we'll think about the next treatment.
Hmm. And now?
Cancer free. And I am here thanks to God. And 1 year cancer survivor, I claim victory in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And thanks to Bridgeway, all family of Bridgeway, your prayers reach to God and your support and your love. I just can never thank you enough.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. If you could pass the mic down to Reg. Reg, being a husband at a time like that, I know we say it in our marriage vows, right? In sickness and in health. But I don't think anything could prepare you for the past 2 years. Can you share a little bit about your experience and what it was like to be husband, to be dad through this?
I was telling my wife and my daughter, I would try to hold it together.
You take your time. You earned it.
I can tell you that, you know, many of you know me, know that I'm a soldier, and I love being a soldier, and you know, I greet people out in the lobby with, "Hey, it's a great day to be a soldier." So that's the kind of thing I say to them. But this has been a very, very difficult time, as you can tell, because it's hard for me. But, you know, when my wife had this diagnosis, I didn't know what to do. And I actually had people tell me, he says, "You know, a lot of men leave their wives. They go away because they don't want to deal with the medical, the emotions, all the problems that go with it." But I decided I wasn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I love my wife, love my family. I'm not leaving. And so you can see it's really hard for me, but I wasn't going anyplace. I'm continuing to stay right there with her because this is my wife, this is my family. Mm-hmm. And we stay together no matter what. Yeah. And I tell you, there's a lot of people from Bridgeway that came and ministered to us, and the elders came and sang at our house for us. And Larry Beverly, who's out there in the lobby, when my wife is having her surgery, he joined us and he brought t-shirts for us to wear saying Team Ann. She's going through her surgery. And that's the type of people. I mean, there's so many. Pastor Dan and Pastor Mitch, even Pastor D.A. came over. And I tell you what, you can't do it by yourself. You've got to do it together.
Well, you've been an amazing example of the scriptures that says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. He gave himself up for his church. And you've given yourself up for your family to stand in the gap and be strong for them. We take that example from you. So thanks so much, Reg. We appreciate you. Grace, 18 years old when your mom got the diagnosis, and you grew up in church, right? You heard people talk about Jesus as long as you can remember. Yeah. And then you walked through this past season. Is there anything in your life that you'd heard growing up, but now walking through this with your family, now it's real?
Yeah, so I grew up at Bridgeway, and I prided myself in a really strong relationship with God. But this ripped me apart, and everything felt violent. Everything felt like betrayal, because my mom had told me when I was young, like, her abuse that she had endured as a child growing up. So I couldn't understand why a God who I had learned about love and hope and faith would allow this to happen. And I completely broke apart when we had found out that the margins weren't clean and she needed chemotherapy and she needed another surgery. And that's when it became very clear that this journey was gonna be way longer than I expected it. And after we had discussed that, I stormed up to the bathroom and I just sat on the floor and I exploded in emotions that I had never felt towards God. And if we're gonna be real, I told God that I hated him, that there could be no way that a good father, that we would stand up at church and we would worship and we come to the altar and that he would let something like this happen to my mom. And in the midst of this big explosion of emotion, I felt God say, more. Give me more. You can do it. You can do it. Come on, keep going. Pour it out. And that's the kind of God that I've met and I didn't even know, really. That God will introduce you to a pain that requires him. And now I experience love everywhere. And I get to hold my mom longer. And I get to tell her she's beautiful and mean it. And I get to see women and men who go through trauma and abuse and cancer and mental health and mean it when I say, I'm here. Because I experienced that and there's people who weren't there. And one of the biggest things that I learned from my therapist, because mental health is a priority, but she told me that life is not safe, but God is good. And God doesn't guarantee every day to be happy, every day to be perfect, every day to be healthy, but he guarantees love. And I feel that within cancer, and that's how God is bigger than cancer.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Grace. Can you put up the picture of Grace and her mom at graduation time? You know, this is something where their family was walking through this day by day by day, wondering what was next. And look at them now. Look at them now. Well, let's praise God for the work that he's done in and through this family. Thank you so much. And even now, using this as a ministry to run our cancer survivors ministry. So thank you so much. One more round of applause for what God is doing. We have another couple moments. Maybe you've been sitting there and you're like, today's my day to lift up my voice to tell what God's been doing. I saw one hand over here. If you want to stand up and move out to the aisles or whichever way, Tim will meet you there. Anybody on this side? Want to give you the opportunity? Sure, you can stand up and come on out to the aisle here. Great. Whoever gets there first, it's a race. No, we'll start over here at 10. How about you introduce yourself and then share a little bit about what God's been doing in your life?
Hey, everyone. My name's Brittany. This year, in 2019, I started coming to Bridgeway more. I went to Wednesday Night Alive, the session in January. That was very insightful. But just a little bit about me. I'm a millennial, a proud millennial. But we do have a lot of student loan debt. So I just graduated from college not too long ago. And I was pretty much trying to work off my student loan debt. I have 3 jobs right now. And it's just a lot. I'm just trying to adult. And I was leaving 2 weeks ago. I was leaving one job, going to my full-time, the Chick-fil-A near Howard High School. I was getting off of 100, going on 29, and I hydroplaned. My back tires were sliding, so I tried to slide into the turn. But there's no railing over there, so I slid off the road, flipped my car twice, there's a cement drain down over there, and top of my car hit that drain, and that's what flipped me back upright. The paramedics came. Luckily, a guy was able to call the police and pull over. The firefighters pulled me out. I had no injuries, a little bit of pain, but no injuries. I didn't have any broken bones or anything. I was able to walk away with my car totaled.
Wow.
God was definitely covering me and protecting me in that moment. I'm in between jobs, so I didn't really have health insurance in that time frame. I'm just about to get it on January 1st, so it's just a lot to think about, and just to be grateful for what we have every day and not being so much in a rush all the time and feeling like you have to meet a certain amount of money or be there so at a certain amount of time. It's just being in the moment and being grateful for that moment that you do have on this earth.
So. Well, thanks for sharing that with us, that moment with us. Appreciate that. Praise God for protecting you and something that, man, wow, who knows what it would have turned out like. God hadn't been right there with you. Yeah. All right. And Nyla, how about you share who you are and then get a chance to share your story.
Hi, Dave. Okay, I'm sorry.
Hi, Nyla.
I don't usually sound like this. I'm kind of sick. But I'm Nyla. I'm 19 last month. I actually volunteer with Nexus, and I'm the leader of the sixth grade girls. So any sixth grade girls you see running around, those are, you know, mine. It's actually my first year. We moved here about 2 years ago now. So I have been struggling with anxiety since my freshman year of high school. I am now a freshman in college. Last year in 2018, when we moved to Columbia, I was officially diagnosed with major anxiety, and the past couple months, I was just diagnosed with depression. It's been a rough year, not only for me, but I know I sound shaky. I'm so sorry. My heart's like pounding. For my family, my family is so supportive. I just want to thank God for them. My mom, mm-hmm. my mom's my best friend, over there crying. Mm-hmm. I just want to say, mental health is so important. So as soon as you said it, like, God just touched me. And I get so angry because I tell God, I'm like, stop making me the spokesperson. Stop. Mm-hmm. I'm like, stop leading Dave and telling them, like, we want you to come and talk about the things you've been through. Because I personally don't see the point in me going up there and talking, but everybody, my mom, Dave, everybody in Youth Alive is just like, you have power, your voice, what you're going through, other people are going through it as well, and just to hear it coming from you helps other people feel better. So I just want to come up here and say, like, I'm on medication, I go see a therapist, it's rough, especially when you serve a God and you love a God who says to only fear him, and I struggle with fearing everything, taking big leaps and making the tiniest decisions, like, do I work today or do I work tomorrow? Like, it's almost kind of, it's almost kind of obsessive, the thoughts and the things I go through, and I know other people are going through it as well. I guess I'm lucky to start going through it young, because I know there are people who go through their whole lives, you know, not going through this, and then 25 hits or 30 hits, and they're like, what's going on? Hmm.
25 or 35 is after.
I'm sure,
no, that's
I'm sure
good.
Older too. Like.
No, but we appreciate, like, to have somebody who's willing to speak up about their journey with mental health struggles, but also saying that you're going to walk with Christ through it, means a lot. Do you have a final word to share?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know I'm all over the place. I just want to say, anybody who's going through it, middle school, even elementary school, junior high school, if families, please be there for them. Please mm-hmm. just listen. Please just open up. I have friends who go through it. I've lost a friend to suicide because of it, and we had no idea. Mm-hmm. Kids, be there for your parents too. See how they're doing. I just want to let people know, one, I'm here for you guys. Anybody who wants to talk, if you're young, if you're old, I'm sure my mom would have no problem talking to you guys too, to other parents. But just have the conversation. Don't be scared to face this head on, because my goal is to, maybe by like 25, I want to be off my medications. I just want to give it to God and just be okay.
Well, we will be praying along with you for your journey of walking with Christ through that time. Thanks for serving our students. Thanks for serving our young people. And Mom, thanks for raising a young lady who's going to impact this world. We appreciate you and your family. All right, we got time for one more. You get one chance. I saw a hand pop up over here. All right, it's all you. You can stand to your feet, and you get to be our closing story here. How about you introduce yourself, and then you can share your story.
My name's Jasmine. I'm 24 years old, and I have a similar story, and I felt like God placed it on my heart today to speak about, and I'm glad I was able to follow up behind her. I graduated college in May of 2017, and I got my first job in Ohio working for the Air Force as a financial manager. So I moved to Ohio by myself. I had no family, no friends. Shortly after, I broke up out of a 4-year relationship with my boyfriend, and I started feeling signs of needing to seek help, signs that I ignored while I was in a relationship, while I was growing up, as I was younger. That I needed to go get professional help because I started to feel down, sad, and I couldn't explain why I was feeling down and sad. People would ask, well, what's wrong? And it's when you can't explain what's wrong, you just feel so low. And I was scared to get help because I felt like, well, I've just started my job. what if people find out and then they're questioning my mental competency, or what if my loved ones start to question that, and what if down the road I have children and then my spouse questions, you know, my sanity or something. And but ultimately I went and I got help. And I was a student athlete all my life, and one of my teammates, she was there for me through this time. It was days when I didn't want to get out of the bed and go to work. And every morning I woke up to a text message from her, a scripture, just like, get up, go to work, you got it, you can do it. Get up, go outside, take a walk today, get some fresh air. Did you eat today? Eat something. And I thank God for bringing us closer, because she was my teammate. But we've just gotten so close over the past 2 years. I was on medication, and I want to say it's possible to get off. I'm off now, and I just think that.
Well, praise God for the healing that he's done in your life, and for having somebody, you know, the scripture that says there's a friend that's closer than a brother, right? A friend that's closer than a sister that can be there for you to be the hands and feet of Christ. God is active, right? God is moving in the lives of people here, and if we had time, I'm sure you could stand up and share a story. I'm sure you could stand up and share about the pain that God's brought you through. I'm sure you could share about the unknowns that are ahead in your life, that you are literally just resting on the fact that God knows what it's going to be like, and you know the God that knows. I'm sure you have a story. I wonder what it's like for you to hear stories, though, right? I wonder if you're the type of person that hears it and you're really glad that God's still working, because it reminds you of when he worked in your life, and it's another chance to praise him, and it's an energizing time of praise for God when you hear stories like this. Maybe you're the type of person that's going through something really hard right now, and this is the time that maybe gives you hope. Because you've been praying week after week after month after year for something for God to come through, and you're getting weary, and hearing that God is working in somebody else's life brings you hope that maybe this is the time where he's going to work in your life. Maybe it re-energizes you that way. Or maybe you're one of the people that you sit in a time like this and you're like, this doesn't make me feel good. Why does God work in their life and what? He didn't work in my life. He didn't heal my mom. He didn't answer my prayer. My finances are still a wreck. Why not me? Maybe that's you. You know, I think we were all tricked at some point. I think we were all tricked into believing that our testimonies need to look like a 90s sitcom, where it's 30 minutes and it wraps up at the end with Carl Winslow telling a joke and a weird laugh track after it. And then we move on, everything fades to black, and everything's over. But when we live our real life, that's not how it is. And it didn't end in 30 minutes. And now I'm stuck and left in this place of brokenness, and I don't know what to do. And I've prayed, and I've had people pray for me, and I have believing friends around me. But what about me, God? I'm losing hope, and I'm reminded of this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. It says this: therefore, we do not lose heart. Maybe we can just take a deep breath right there. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And when Paul wrote this, his light and momentary troubles were that he was in and out of prison, that he was being stoned often, that he was being persecuted and he was an outcast. And he reflected on that and he said, my light and momentary troubles. He was able to do this because he did this next part. He said, so we do this. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And maybe, just maybe, collectively, whether you've received your blessing or you're waiting for your blessing, we can turn our eyes not to what is seen, but to what is unseen. Maybe the shelf life on your last blessing wasn't as long as you thought it was going to be. And you thought the point was the blessing, but really it was that eternal work that God was doing in your heart. Maybe we can turn our eyes to what is unseen. You know, every blessing is momentary. And we discover that as we fix our eyes on Him in our weakness, in our chaos, in our wanderings, in our longings, it is then that we get to see His power, His peace, and His purpose. And some of us work so hard, so desperately hard to make sure nobody knows about our weakness and chaos and longings and wanderings until the end of the testimony. I want to wait to tell anybody until God comes through, and then I'll present it, right? That's not how life is. And maybe your next step, maybe what needs to happen today is just being vulnerable with a friend, somebody that's close to you, somebody that can walk with you through this time as God is doing His eternal work in your heart. Because the blessing will fade away, the trouble will fade away, but your connection to the God who is eternal will last forever. So how about you? What do you need to do today to seal this moment as the day that you're going to make sure you fix your eyes on the unseen? For some of you, it might be that you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. And today is your day to say, Lord, I surrender. I'm yours. I'm going to walk with you. I accept the sacrifice you made on the cross. And I want your forgiveness, Lord. I'll walk with you for the rest of my life. Or maybe you're the type of person who's experiencing the chaos, the wanderings and the longings and the weakness, and you just want to mark this moment as saying, I am ready to fix my eyes on the unseen and trust my God that He knows where He's going to take me. And I will walk with Him all the way through it. So I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. If today is your day to mark this day, here at the end of 2019, that today is the day I'm going to fix my eyes on the unseen because I am in the middle of a testimony and I know who I need to attach myself to, the God of creation, in order to get to the other side. Now, if that's you, we want to pray for you. But it's going to take your part of standing to your feet to declare that today is your day. Today is your day where you're going to fix your eyes on the unseen. If you're in the middle of a testimony and you're ready to trust Christ for what's ahead, how about you stand to your feet? We'll pray for you. This is the beauty of a God story, that it's God's story working through you. All you have to do is bring your weakness. All you have to do is bring your chaos, all the unknowns, and then it's God's story to take it the next step. Is there one more? Going once? Going twice. Now, if you're close to somebody, you might be able to lay a hand on a shoulder or extend an arm because we're going to ask God's blessing to our brothers and sisters as they're walking through testimonies where they're not sure of what's to come. Father, thank you. Thank you for being a God that knows. You know us. You know our future. You know the pain. Lord, that as we share in your sufferings, we also share in your glory. Lord, this connection with you is not just words on a page of scripture, but Lord, this is the lifeblood moving through us, that our connection to you is what takes us one step further. Lord, I pray for the unspoken prayers here, the ones that have been spoken in the secret places of people's hearts. And Lord, that as you work in this moment, you can seal in their hearts the confidence of knowing that they know the God who holds the future. And their surrender to you and their trust in you will not be left without a move of your blessing through their lives. Whether in this life or the life to come, we know that you've got a wonderful plan for us. We trust you for these brothers and sisters, and we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. How about we give God a big round of applause, and how about you stand to your feet? And as you move throughout your day and your week, your month, and this next year, let's move forward with the confidence that we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Have a great day, Bridgeway. You're dismissed.